The Albany Symphony Orchestra and the region's premier vocal ensemble, Albany Pro Musica, have been collaborators for quite a long time. A long, long time. This weekend, they'll perform a pair of concerts at the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall on Saturday night and Sunday afternoon, tackling a pair of choral works. The first is...
Well, the first on the program is John Corleano's Fern Hill.
And the second...
J.S. Bach's Wonderful Magnificat.
I wanted you to pronounce them because I've pronounced enough tough things over the last week and a half.
You did great.
It's
at
a
it too.
Wonderful program that also includes Haydn's Symphony No. 48, known as Maria Theresa Symphony. Is that true?
That is true.
To tell us more, we welcome the two Davids, David Allen Miller, maestro of the Albany Symphony Orchestra, and David Griggs Janauer, director of Albany Pro Musica, two of my favorite people on the planet, and it is a pleasure to welcome them to the studio this morning. Thank you very much for being here.
Well,
Thank you, Joe.
As always, it's a pleasure to be here, Joe, and what a brilliant job you and the team did on that pledge drive. That was incredible.
Well, it's a lot of fun.
And we're glad you got your voice back,
yeah,
too.
So you can come sing with us.
We need you to come sing.
So, David Allen Miller, you were with us just a few weeks ago starting off the season, and I said to you then, well, if the fun drive's over, you can come back, and please bring David with you, because after all of these segments that we have done separately, I don't believe I've ever had the two of you together in the studio.
I think once before.
I think long ago you once did.
For the purposes of this, we've never done it before.
I don't know that we've ever met before, actually.
It's wonderful that you don't remember that, Joe.
I don't.
Because we're glad to be back. It was probably 18, 19 years ago.
We've been doing the show a long time.
I know.
So, but this collaboration has been a very fruitful one for the two of you, and it seems that it's just a perfect match, isn't it?
Well, it is, because our names are both David, so
yes,
it works out
right.
Well. But it's for us, I'm David Miller. For the symphony, it's always a great, great treat to work with Albany Pro Musica and with my colleague, Dr. Janauer, because they are so radiant and beautiful, and he's just, you know, I don't want to say this while he's in the room, because I don't want his head to swell too much, but he's just a complete choral master and has years and years of experience at the highest levels of the industry and knows just an incredible amount about choral singing and about music, and I find him just a wonderful person, to a resource for me and for all of us. And it's so much fun for us to work with words. You know, the thing that's different about choruses and orchestras, of course, one of the things is different. I suppose there are other things as well, but the thing that I'm always struck by is words, that they get to work with text all the time.
And robes.
No robes anymore. But they have words. And so for me, I came home last night, you know, we're working on this John Corleano piece, which is a setting of an incredible Dylan Thomas poem about lost youth and innocence. And I was just so delighted to be able to mold words and work with words, because with pure orchestral music, you don't have that.
Now, David Griggs Janauer, when Albany Pro Musica, from its inception, was it a no-brainer that at some point you would work with the Albany Symphony Orchestra? Or 32 years ago,
we were quite small, and really we designed ourselves to be a chamber choir. But as we grew, it became apparent that we would love the chance to work with such a professional symphony as the ASO, which has gotten, over my 32 years here, just more and more professional every single year. And the concert they did last month was just unbelievably wonderful. And so it's always exciting for us to work with a group like this. And of course, just as David enjoys working with me, I enjoy working with him. We really do work well together, absolutely. It's no stage presence here. We just like working with each other.
I would assume, and I'm just reading into this, but I would assume it's a pleasure to work with, and this is in the case of both of you, working together with people that you can trust, that you know will get the job done, and that can kind of read between the lines.
Yeah.
Well, there's that, but there's also the fact that we both have our areas of expertise, and even though lots of it overlaps, we really have different bits of sort of, can I put this way, brilliance that we bring to the... our piece, and then we combine them together and we get something somehow greater.
Yeah, and it is strange, because, you know, we're both conductors and we're both trained in
right.
many of the same skill areas, but as David says, I mean, choral conducting, vocal conducting, and instrumental conducting are very different disciplines in many profound ways. And so we do have, you know, I really rely on David, and I've had a wonderful time working on the Magnificat. This is one of the greatest of all Bach pieces, and it's my first time with it, and it's David's 28th time with it, and he's lived with it for years and years. And actually, I must say that if you come to the concert, come for at least this reason, to read his program note. His program note is the most beautiful program note I've ever read. It's just so insightful about the piece. I mean, you should come for other reasons.
I think you can just email that, David.
No, you got to show up or we won't let you read the if you want to read it, you have to pay
it's
the money.
Probably better reasons. Yeah. We want to hear the orchestra and
but his program note is a thing of beauty because his awareness of this piece and the depth of his understanding of it is immense.
But here's what's amazing. I know this piece extremely well, and yet David just brings new things to it, and I love that. I mean, the same with the Verdi and whatever we've done together. No matter how well I feel like I know a piece, someone else brings always something new and exciting.
This is a very Chartakian question that I'm about to ask, so I apologize. But because I'm not as good as Alan in asking these type of questions.
Oh,
but
you're good.
In the rock, paper, scissors of things, if it comes down to, because you're both conductors, so who, is it simply a consensus of saying, if one of you says, I believe that the chorus should be a little stronger here or a little softer here, and that if one doesn't agree, like who ultimately makes that decision, or does the piece just dictate it to you and no such thing would ever exist?
It's like diplomacy and politics used to be. It's the art of compromise. And it's not just compromise. It's that, you know, David, for example, last night, he very graciously prepares the choir and then for this kind of concert turns it over to me and lets me conduct the concert, which is unbelievably gracious. But the whole evening last night at the rehearsal, he was standing out in the hall hearing the audience perspective. So in that case, when he says, I don't hear the violins there, I defer entirely to him because he's the ears in the hall. So again, that's a wonderful collaborative thing. And you know, I think I speak for him that he lets me make my editorial, you know, it's my performance. I'm the one who's ultimately interpreting it with the chorus and orchestra together, so he's very deferential to me on that, but I'm equally deferential to him on any matter that he feels strongly about, because he's a very wise man. And this piece is so incredible, the Magnificat. So if, like me, you're fairly new to it as a listener, I hope you'll come hear it. It's just such a distilled, David had made the point in this amazing program note, it's like Bach distilled to essence. It's 26 minutes, and it covers everything. Magnificent, gigantic chorus numbers, beautiful solos, unbelievable instrumentation, oboe d'amore, which is this Baroque oboe that's slightly bigger and longer than the modern oboe and has a slightly deeper sound, gorgeous flute writing,
brilliant
trumpets, and our trumpets are unbelievably brilliant. It's just a complete masterpiece in 26 minutes that will just knock your socks off.
When it comes to David, of having worked with this piece for as long as you have, I assume that this is like a required part of any choral director's repertoire.
I think it should be, sure. Yeah. And we all learned it somewhere along the way.
Yeah. So does that experience help in the sense that you've had so many cracks at it that you really do get to explore and work with it?
Well, I think it's like any other piece or even a play or anything that you come back to after a year or two or many, is that you rediscover the things you learned in the first place and you learn new things. If a piece of art is really wonderful, you're always finding something new and fabulous. And in the case of Bach, there's no question about that.
And what's so fascinating about Bach, because it's really old relative to, you know, certainly a lot of the music, or most of the music, the Albany Symphony plays, you know, it's back from, this piece was written in 1723 and then revised again in 1730 or 31. And it was kind of his calling card when he arrived in Leipzig to be the cantor at the Thomaskirche. He wrote this piece to sort of dazzle the public and then revised it to make the trumpet parts even more brilliant some years later. But with Bach, because it's such old music, there's a lot that's not clear about how it was performed in his time, would have been performed, how big the chorus would have been, what the orchestra configuration would have been like. Incredible open questions about text and how it should be interpreted. So as there's more and more research into Baroque practice, there's more clarity, but there are more possibilities. And so I think actually the piece gets more fascinating with time. It used to be they all just played it too slowly and it was really boring, and it's gotten progressively fascinating and crisp and interesting and exciting.
And even the range of modern performances on CD that David's been exploring a lot recently. The range is incredible just in the last 10 years of music making.
And it's wild. For me, it's so much fun to sort of enter the world of choral conducting because, for example, we're singing it in German Latin, which probably a lot of people don't know exists. I mean, in the 1700s, there was Italianate Latin and there was Germanic Latin. And in northern Germany or in Germany, they didn't speak Latin the way they spoke it in the Latin countries. And so we're singing it in German Latin, which is already a sort of editorial decision. And it's very interesting because all these recordings I got to hear on different performances, more than half of them are not in German Latin, but some of them are in German Latin. So instead of generazione, I can't even say the Italian anymore, generazione, it's generazione. It all sounds much more German. So we're seeing it that way, which we think is more authentic to Bach because that's how he would have heard it.
And it makes a difference to the sound because Bach is so percussive. The Baroque style is so percussive compared to, say, Brahms. And when you get German Latin, you get a more percussive sound, and it really fits the music, which
so
is what makes
a,
it so
just
exciting.
A fascinating sort of, who knew that there was German Latin? I mean, it's just such a fascinating thing to learn about.
Who knew? So I find this interesting because I ask this question a lot of actors and even writers, but actors especially, where you'll say you're taking on an iconic part, you're taking on an iconic role, say, you know, oh, I'm going to be in this production of, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. You know, have you watched the film? And they say, oh no, I want to do my own interpretation or whatever the case may be. And I understand that. But for you, for the two of you, and listening to the recordings, how much of it is just seeing how it's interpreted by others? How much of it is to hear what is possible? And or is there a point where you have to say, okay, I'm done listening to it because I have it going on in my own head?
Well, I kind of do it almost last. I study the piece, I learn it at the piano, I read everything I can about it, I analyze the score, and then I go and I go on Amazon and I order every out-of-print CD of it I can possibly find. So I probably ordered 12 CDs of it and on YouTube, and I probably watched about 20 different performances just to see how different famous Baroque interpreters do it. And then I sort of put all that away, and then I sort of have a final finish where I've sort of input a lot of different ideas about it, and then I kind of go back to, well, what do I feel about it? And I assume you probably do something similar.
I work exactly the same,
yeah.
In fact.
So I used to say, I don't want to listen to the recordings, I want to...
Right.
But you know what? It would be I would be doing a disservice to the musicians and the choristers if I didn't know the traditions. So in a way, I think actually that's a really important part of the process.
Well, to me, it seems like it's the ultimate in preparation. I mean, it's the same thing of, you know, what I do of an interview where you want to get as much information
and
as you possibly can.
You're incredible at that.
Well,
but I got to
say,
So fun for me about this is it's like detective work, and David has been forwarding me different chat rooms with choral conductors. I mean, I went through an unbelievable page.
Are they legal?
Pages.
Are they all legal?
They're crazy. I mean, these people are crazy.
I'm careful what I forward.
There was
choral
such a thing about
rooms.
Whether the S before a consonant in the middle of a word is, or before a vowel, is a S sound or a Z sound. I mean, these guys go on and
in
on.
The German it's Latin?
Yeah, in
right.
The German
exactly.
Latin. So, I mean, there's more detail than anyone should ever need to know. But leaving that aside, I mean, the concert is just—it's actually funny because it's in such contrast to the opening concert, which was these two big romantic warhorses, the Rachmaninoff Second Piano Concerto and the Tchaikovsky Fifth Symphony. These pieces exist on a much more intimate scope, and yet they have just as much impact. There, it's an incredibly deep concert. The Corleone piece, which he wrote when he was 20 years old, just finishing Columbia College, it was really his first choral piece, one of his first pieces ever, is just a radiant, beautiful, beautiful piece. Complete contrast to the Bach, and the Haydn's an incredible opening to the concert.
When the two groups are on stage at the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall, do you outnumber the audience?
Oh no!
Not this weekend, because Saturday night is basically sold out. So I wanted to tell your listeners, you know, Sunday it's the first.
I didn't mean that.
Oh.
I meant because there's just so many people
on
that. Like that's a lot of people to get on that stage. It's a very small stage.
This is a chamber concert,
it's
a little smaller.
It's
all
about
right.
70 choristers,
65 choristers.
65 choristers, about 30 some musicians. So it's
that's
not
a lot of people though.
Well, it's almost 100. Which for Troy is a lot to fit on the stage.
Right.
But but the hall seats 1250.
Right.
Yeah, so and Saturday's going to be great because it's all, everybody's going to be there. And then Sunday, I wanted to tell you, this is the beginning of our Sunday matinee series. We're finally listening to, we've been doing a wonderful matinee series in Saratoga, in Zankel, that gorgeous hall, but that hall's a good bit smaller than the Troy Hall. So we've had to, just because of demand, move the Sundays to Troy. So we now have a 3 o'clock Sunday matinee series, which
nice
starts off
the
Sunday. So if people want to come, the one to come to is the Sunday afternoon because there's still plenty of tickets for that one.
And I told you this last time, but matinees. That's the key.
Wonderful, yes.
We like matinees. You get in, you get out.
Yeah, you can have lunch before or dinner after. Or both. Or make a whole culinary day out of it.
Sleep, you don't have to worry about it. Right. So much nicer.
It's good.
So find out more. You can go to albanysymphony.com, albanysymphony.com, and find out more information about the event. And then will the two of you work together again?
Soonly, I hope. At least next year.
We're already talking about next year. Yeah. So
okay,
of course
and then you're doing your own thing, right, David? I mean,
we have our subscription season hasn't even started yet, so we have a full docket coming up of concerts.
And I just want to say, for anybody who really hates this repertoire, we're doing a Beatles tribute on October 27th. Not that you have to either like the Beatles or Bach.
I was about to say, you can like both.
You can
That's
love
fine.
Them both. But That's I'm just saying that if there's anybody who's not who doesn't find this program appealing, keep your eye out because we're doing this big. A big Beatles tribute it's the Classical Mystery Tour. It's four faux Beatles with orchestra doing all the greatest hits Saturday the 27th at the Palace Theater. That's coming up.
That's fantastic. Great.
It's crazy. For us, it's a crazy departure, so I hope people will come on out
and
support
it. You'll be in a Beatles wig, won't you?
I will. I'll be in my little, what do you call those things with the...
Where the mop top?
The mop top. The mop top. I'll be wearing my mop top. I don't know. Is that part of the gig? I'm behind. We're behind.
check your rider.
Right, I will.
Gentlemen, it's always a pleasure to have you both here. And even though it wasn't the first time, apparently, it's still a delight to have you both in
the same room. Well, it feels
like the
first time. That's the beauty of
so fresh.
Having much retention.
This weekend's collaboration with Albany Pro Musica and the Albany Symphony Orchestra at the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall takes place tomorrow night and Sunday afternoon. You can go to albanysymphony.com for more information. Gentlemen, a great pleasure. I wish you both lots of luck, and we can't wait to hear the beautiful music that you'll both create. Thank you.
Thanks so much,
Thank
Joe.
Thank you, Joe. Great Take
pleasure.
The weekend off. That was an arduous
Thank you.
Few weeks
I
there.
Will do that. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.